Just when you think Congress can't do anything right, they go ahead and pass the Secure Act 2.0. I'm Rob West. There are actually a lot of right things in the latest version of this legislation, which was signed into law a few months ago. I'll talk about how it affects your retirement, whether you're in it or still saving for it. We're off today, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, a little background first. Congress loves acronyms, so understand that SECURE stands for Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement. The first SECURE Act was passed in 2019 and made several improvements to make retirement saving easier. The latest version, the SECURE Act 2.0, as it has come to be known, builds on that, starting with changes to required minimum distributions that you'll have to take in retirement. The age for taking your RMD has been increased from 73 to 75 if you turn 72 after January 1st of 2023, and that takes effect this year. That means you'll have an extra 2 years to build your retirement savings before making a mandatory withdrawal and paying taxes on that money. That's a definite improvement. A few more RMD improvements starting in 2024. If you have a Roth account with your 401k or 403b plan, you'll no longer have to take RMDs from that account during your lifetime. Also, if you're late taking an RMD or you miss one, the penalty has been reduced from 50% of the RMD to 25% starting this year. And if you correct the mistake within what's called a timely manner, the penalty is further reduced to 10%. The new legislation also makes things easier if you're struggling to pay off student loans and save for retirement. Employers with 401k plans, 403b plans, governmental 457b plans, and simple IRAs now have the option to match contributions on qualified student loan payments to your retirement account. That means your loan payments will be treated as elective deferrals, just like your retirement contributions. Now, you know how we're always telling you to have an emergency fund in place with 3 to 6 months living expenses? Well, the SECURE Act 2.0 will now give you a place to store those funds where they can make greater gains than in a savings account. Employers now have the option of adding a Roth emergency fund to their plans for most employees. Participants will be able to make limited contributions to those special Roth accounts and have penalty-free access to those funds when needed. And bonus, those contributions will be eligible for employer matches. That, as they say, is a game changer. If you've been late making contributions to your retirement plan, there's also an increase in catch-up contributions. Starting in January of next year, if you are between ages 60 and 63, you'll be able to make larger contributions to your employer plan. The new limit will be $10,000 or 50% of the regular catch-up amount, whichever is greater, and that will be indexed to inflation. The IRA catch-up amount stays at $1,000, but that will also be indexed to inflation. Starting on January 1st, 2025, individuals age 60 to 63 will be able to make larger catch-up contributions to employer-based retirement plans. The limit for people in that age range will be the greater of $10,000 or 50% more than the regular catch-up amount indexed to inflation. Also, the current IRA catch-up contribution amount of $1,000 will be indexed for inflation starting in 2024. Now, if you're starting to think that Congress did all of this out of the goodness of their hearts, keep in mind that many of these new provisions are aimed at increasing Roth contributions. Since those contributions are made with after-tax money, it means that Uncle Sam gets his cut now instead of having to wait. An example in the new legislation is that Roth accounts in company 401k and 403b plans are now eligible for matching employer contributions. But to be fair, increasing Roth contributions also works to the benefit of younger investors who are likely to be in a lower tax bracket now rather than later in life. Proverbs 21:20 tells us, precious treasure, an oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it, and it would certainly be wise to take advantage of all of these changes in the rules for retirement savings. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Our modern world is a world full of promises, whether it's tech companies promising a better life with their new gadget, or it's politicians saying whatever it takes to get their votes. We've become desensitized to it all, haven't we? Empty promises have a way of doing that, which is what makes the Lord's words in Psalm 12:6 so refreshing. The words of the Lord are flawless, like gold refined seven times, pure, unfailing, priceless. This is what the Lord's promises are to us, never empty, but always full of grace and truth. His promises are all yes and amen in the Savior, Jesus Christ. He moves to protect us and promises to preserve us until the end. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India, rescuing little girls from abuse. In her 50-plus years of ministry, she witnessed the transforming power of the Bible.
Sorrowful people are comforted. People who were in the dark walk in the light. Is it not wonderful to think that this book is in our hands today?
Bert Harper and Alex McFarlane explore the wonders of the Bible, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
God owns it all. We're stewards of his resources, which makes money a tool to accomplish his purposes. Hi, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, looking at our financial decisions through the lens of a biblical worldview. That means going to the source, God's Word, to draw our principles and thoughts related to handling his money. You know, often money management can seem overwhelming, complicated, perhaps unending in the number of decisions that we need to make, and that can lead to indecision and perhaps even frustration. You know, when we simplify money management down to just five things, the money we live on, the money we give, the money we owe for debt and for taxes, and then the money we grow, it does make things obviously simpler, but we also recognize that God's Word speaks to each of those. And when we apply the principles that we see in God's Word, like living within our means and giving generously because it breaks the grip of money over our lives, and the fact that borrowing always mortgages the future. And so we need to be careful when we're borrowing, that we want to pay our taxes with thanksgiving because it's symptomatic of provision. And we want to grow God's money prudently, but we also want to do it wisely before the Lord, asking the question, how much is enough? And when we wrestle through these things and apply biblical wisdom, counteracting the messages of this world, well, it's at that point that we can make decisions that are God-honoring, keep ourselves free from the love of money, which is the root of all evil, the Bible tells us, and pursue God, ultimately seeking first his kingdom and then having all these things added. That really is our aim here on this program. We want to help you do that with the very practical decisions and choices you're making. So give us a call. Tell us what you're thinking about. Let's talk about it together. Also, if you have a testimony, perhaps you've been applying these principles, not from me, but from God's word for a long time, and you've seen the fruit of that, we'd love to hear about it. All right, to Cleveland, Ohio, WH, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
How you doing, Rob?
I'm well, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I seen an ad in the mail where it was talking about I could pay my debt off in about I could apply for a $20,000 loan at the price of a for 6.99%. So I called about it, and next thing I know that they were signing me up to for the loan, but that's what I wanted. But they explained later on, after I've been through all of the red tape, that I had signed up, and then they were going to negotiate the debt. And he probably wouldn't understand that you've been saying that we should pay our debts, and that's what the Bible teaches also. Yeah. So this is what I wanted to do, but he's talking about negotiating, and he's saying that it's so high that I probably couldn't do the debt snowball good enough to get it paid off in the time that they could get it paid off for me.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that background, WH. Let's talk about it for a moment. First of all, what you're probably referring to is debt settlement, where they go in, they ask you to stop making the payments, your account falls into arrears and into collections, and in doing so, they then approach the debt the company that issued the debt, the lender, and try to negotiate a reduced payoff, a debt settlement. Well, the problem with that is it's going to trash your credit in the meantime. Secondly, there's a lot of fraud and manipulation involved in many of these strategies, and you described one of them. They presented it as one thing, and after you went through the process, and in some cases even pay some money, only to find out that you're not taking out a new loan, which I would have discouraged you from doing anyway, but that wasn't it at all. All of a sudden you find out they're putting you into a debt settlement program, which was not what was explained to you initially. Therein lies the problem. There's a lot of fraud and deception in this particular industry. It doesn't mean there's not any reputable companies, but they're few and far between. So for that reason, I would stay away from anyone trying to get a settlement by encouraging you to stop paying your debts on time. Now, you probably do have high interest rates if this is credit card debt. Is that, in fact, what debt you have?
Yes, that's a fact. Yes.
Okay. And what's the balance across however many cards you have, roughly?
It's probably about $24,000.
Okay. All right. And have you stopped adding to those credit cards, WH?
Yeah, I was getting ready to add them up, but the ad was so attractive, so yeah. I called, and next thing I know, that he was saying that it was still more attractive because I thought that I was just gonna have a $20,000 to pay everything off, or I didn't know exactly what I needed because I hadn't added everything up yet.
Yeah.
So
Well, I don't like the idea of paying this off with new debt anyway. That's often called debt consolidation, where you'd get a new loan, rolling the debts together, hopefully at a lower interest rate. The problem with that is often we're treating the symptom and not the problem. The problem is overspending, and the symptom is the debt. When you transfer that debt to a lower interest consolidation loan, oftentimes, even though the interest rate is lower, you're going to have a longer payback period, which means you may pay as much or even more interest over the life of the loan as you are currently. But secondly, if we don't treat the problem, which is overspending, then you're going to call me 6 months from now and say, Rob, now I have a $24,000 consolidation loan at 699. And guess what? The credit card debt's back. And I don't want that for you. So here's the way I would go, WH. I like debt management. It's basically where you're sliding into existing programs. There's not any negotiation. Each of your creditors has a reduced interest rate available if you go into a, what's called a credit counseling program through a nonprofit credit counseling agency. We work with Christian credit counselors here at Faith and Finance. We've worked with them for years. They're godly people. They've worked with hundreds and hundreds of our listeners to help them get out of debt on average 80% faster. And the way they can do that is there's going to be a lower interest rate with each of these accounts once you enter the program, and you're going to have a level monthly payment. So as that balance comes down, which it will much quicker at a reduced interest rate, the payment is not going to change. So now you begin snowballing that debt. And the combination of those two things working together will allow you to pay this off in full, honor your debts, but do it much quicker with a lot less interest paid. So I think that's your next step. As far as I'm concerned, I would visit with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org and let them get you at least explore what it would look like for you to get on a debt management program. Okay.
Now, if I do that, how would that look when I'm paid off?
In terms of your credit report?
Yes, if I need to do credit at that particular time.
It wouldn't look bad at all. The fact that you're in a debt management program is not a part of the credit scoring formula. The only thing that could cause your score to decline slightly is that each of these cards will be closed when they enter the program. So that's just going to pull them out of your credit history. But the fact that you're in credit counseling, that in and of itself is not a part of the credit scoring algorithm. So I wouldn't worry about getting new credit at this point, even though it's not going to have a major impact on you. The key for you is to get out of debt and stay there. But when you get out of debt and you're ready for a loan that makes sense down the road, you won't have any trouble getting it. So head to ChristianCreditCounselors.org, WH, and let me know how it goes. We'll look forward to hearing back from you. Benny and Joyce, we're coming your way, plus your questions just around the corner. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
The tornadoes that twisted across parts of the Midwest and Mid-South left an aftermath of overwhelming destruction and grief. Now, chaplains from the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team are there in the midst of the devastation, sharing the hope and love of Jesus Christ with those who are suffering. God is at work. You can find out how on Facebook. Search for Billy Graham Rapid Response Team. The Billy Graham Rapid Response Team, sharing hope in crisis.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. You know, one of the challenges with the cultural worldview of money is that it often leads to fear. We start asking the question, what if? The problem is, what if makes us think about what might go wrong in the future. Well, we can't see the future, but we worry about it anyway. The late Larry Burkett would often say, our anxieties usually are not related to the lack of things, but to the loss of things. Larry would go on to explain that one of Satan's favorite tools to discourage Christians is the question, what if? What if questions lead right down the road to fear and worry? Well, Jesus addressed this in the Gospels. Let me read it to you. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles strive after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So what's the answer? Well, he goes on to say, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So what if we replace fear with faith and we seek first the kingdom and then let everything else come into focus, counteracting the messages of this world and pursuing a biblical worldview of money management? Perhaps that will make all the difference. Let's head back to the phones to Miami, Florida. Hey, Joyce, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes. Thanks for receiving my call.
Sure.
I want to know what's the important about investing. What should I know about investing about $5,000 in I bonds instead of buying life insurance? I want to invest that to kind of help, you know.
Okay.
Whenever that time comes.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a moment. So, whenever we talk about investing, we have to talk about the money that we're using and whether that's the right priority use of that money. Are there other things that should come first? And then we need to make sure that the investment vehicle, in this case you're referring to I-bonds, matches the investment objectives, which has to do with the time horizon. How long do you have to invest this money, and how do we seek the best return with the least amount of risk? But we also have to make sure we have the right liquidity, which just means you can get access to the money when you need it. So let's start with the priority use of this money. You said it's $5,000. Where is this money coming from?
It's coming from part of my saving account.
Okay. All right. And do you have additional savings, what I would call an emergency fund, separate from this?
Yes. Okay. I have that in place.
Okay, great. And what is the time horizon on this money? Is this earmarked for any specific purpose where you would need it back in a certain period of time?
No, I want to invest it there when my daughter will be the beneficiary, you know, for when the time comes for me to leave this place, you know.
Okay.
That she don't have to be running around.
Sure. And you mentioned life insurance. So tell me what you're thinking about there. Do you have any life insurance?
I have a little, but, the cost of living is so high.
Yes,
ma'am. Instead of buying more life insurance, which is the payment is so high, I'm 74 years old, I figure if I invest the $5,000 in I-bonds, that additional, you know, would help her when that time comes.
Yes. Is she an adult, and is she depending upon your income to cover her lifestyle expenses?
No, she's very independent.
Okay,
she's
very good.
She's about 41 years old, and she's very independent, have her own house and
great.
Everything.
So this is just something you wanted to do to bless her when the Lord calls you home, correct?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so I would agree with you, Joyce, that life insurance is not the way to go at your age, and given the fact that you no longer have any dependents that would be placed in a hardship situation if you were to pass away and therefore your income went away, then it's not a good use of money because it would be very costly. So then the question is, okay, with the resources I have beyond my emergency fund, what's the best way to invest that money? I-bonds are fine. I would put those in a bucket where we're thinking about money that we might want to have access to in 1 to 3 years. You've got to leave money in I-bonds for 12 months. You simply can't take it out. But if you're thinking about investing this money for more than 3 years, I'm not sure that's going to be the best option, because even though the rate is fairly attractive today, that's going to change. As inflation comes down, the rate on the I-bond is going to come down with it, and it adjusts every 6 months. So we'll get the new rate based on wherever the consumer price index is, basically the government's measure of inflation, and then the rate will adjust accordingly. It's going to be lower, I can tell you. How much lower, we won't know till we see it. But as the Federal Reserve really focuses all of their energy by raising interest rates and contracting the money supply, as they focus their energy on taming inflation and getting it down to as close to their 2% target as possible from where it was at 9+% last year, we're going to see that I-bond rate fall. And it, although it's attractive today, I don't think it's going to be very attractive in the future. So if you were saying, Rob, how do I invest this for the next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, however long the Lord keeps you here until he calls you home, I would say, well, this is probably a great time to drop it into a very high quality mutual fund, stock mutual fund, because stocks are selling at a discount right now. They're down from their highs last year. And that would probably be a great option to grow that money, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years, so that when the Lord calls you home, there's something, you know, more significant than $5,000 there. I like that better than the I-bonds. Now, if you said, Rob, I don't want to take any risk, well, then you could certainly look at the I-bonds for the next couple of years, but I don't think they're going to be very attractive beyond that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes lots of sense. Suppose I put it in just for 1 year for the 12 months and
yes,
see where that goes, and then
you certainly could do that. Yes, ma'am. So you can put in up to $10,000 this year, and so $5,000 would be fine. You could make your daughter the beneficiary on it, and you'd set that up when you open the account. So you'll just want to head to treasurydirect.gov, treasurydirect.gov, and you'd open your account, set up your beneficiary, and then you're going to have to transfer the funds in electronically, probably from a checking or a savings account. You'll link that up to your Treasury Direct account, transfer the $5,000 in. That'll buy the electronic bonds, the I-bonds, and then you'd be all set. You just sit there and wait and collect the interest. Thanks for calling, Joyce. By the way, if you'd like to give to support this ministry online, you can do that on our website, faithfi.com. Just click give. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Learning University.
That wasn't stereo right there, fellas.
that's jumbled.
We were struggling.
The bumblebee was called the humblebee. Is that true?
Chicken legs are also called drumsticks.
Yeah, that's not a good ice cream flavor. They've got some little tiny saddles that they put on those dragons. Unfortunately, you can only ride them once,
because then they turn around and take your leg off.
Hey, Andrew, you want to ask it?
I'm so excited about getting on. I missed my exit.
Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries.
I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
What does the American Family Association stand for? We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Back to the phones we go to Indiana. Hey, Elsie, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, I was calling about accelerated banking. Do you know about accelerated banking as a way to pay off a mortgage quicker? Like, I have a 15-year mortgage. They say I can pay it off in 3.5 years or less than that. Yeah. But I have to give them a lump sum.
Yeah.
And then I want to compare it to a reverse mortgage. And do you recommend either one? That's my question.
Yeah, a lot of folks mean different things when they say accelerated mortgage. Are you talking about this strategy? We haven't heard a lot about it lately, and there's a good reason for that. I'll tell you in a second. But it involves taking out a home equity line of credit and using that to float your monthly bills and trying to apply your income to your mortgage and kind of going back and forth between the two. Is that the strategy that you're describing?
That's exactly what he was talking about, to a T.
Yeah, I'd stay away from that, Elsie. It's complicated. It involves a lot of moving back and forth, often involving computer software to kind of help you calculate everything. Usually there's, in some cases, thousands of dollars in upfront fees. It's going to use a home equity line of credit, which is going to have a variable interest rate, which is not a good idea right now with interest rates as high as they are right now. It requires a lot of cash flow in order to make the strategy work. So usually folks have higher incomes that are doing this. And it takes a lot of discipline as well, just because of the risk that you run by taking out this additional debt and trying to jump back and forth between the two. And so, this is something that I would stay far away from. You know, they're going to pass it off as a way to pay off your mortgage faster, but it's going to end up potentially being a real problem area for you. And, it's going to cost you a lot in the way of upfront fees, which means that perhaps the only one that wins is the one who's selling you the software and the quote unquote, program. So I wouldn't touch that. A reverse mortgage is the opposite. If you're trying to get out of debt, a reverse mortgage is going to tap into your equity to create an income stream. And I'm not a big fan of those because they're complicated and expensive. And there's an interest rate inside that reverse mortgage that's probably not the most attractive either. The only case that it makes some sense would be as if you know, you've got somebody who's has depleted most of their assets. They're sitting on a large asset with the family home. You know, maybe there's a gap in their what they need between the income they have and the expenses they have. They don't want to move. They're over the age of 65, and you know, they would like to just systematically pull the equity out of the house. You know, and use that to cover the gap in their expenses to fund their lifestyle. But just keep in mind, if you wanted to pass the house off as an inheritance, you know, they're going to have to satisfy that debt if they want to keep it. You got to still pay the mortgage and the taxes. You know, if you need to go into long-term care, you're going to have to sell it and satisfy the loan. So, you know, that's not my favorite approach either, except in a few limited circumstances. So what would I do? Well, I'd keep it really simple. Take the mortgage you got, which is probably a pretty attractive interest rate. I love that you've got a 15-year mortgage and not a 30. And I just try to send an extra payment a year if you can. If you can do more, great. But let's try to get that paid off so that as quickly as possible, you take that largest expense in your financial life off the table, which makes it easier to cover your obligations every month. And you know, once you're debt free, now you've got complete flexibility and peace of mind. You're no longer in a position of being slave to the lender, and you can enjoy whatever God has for you next. That's my approach. It's not fancy, doesn't involve slick calculations and a lot of software, but I think it's the biblical model in my view.
That makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. I appreciate that.
All right, Elsie. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling today. It looks like all of our lines are full. Let's continue to move through these questions as quickly as we can to Chicago. Hi, Finney. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Finney. Thanks for taking my call.
And oh, sure. Sorry about that.
I have a townhouse we already paid off, and that's our old house, and another townhouse that's have combined 500,000 in there, and I was thinking to live debt free. That's only 15 years, and we have a handicapped child who needs 8,000 a month to be put in the facility in 7 years. And some friend advised that we should sell the both townhouse and get a building, a $2 million building, so that we can generate more rental income. So that way we can make the payment for. Pay for his facility.
Well, I realize that the challenge here, that the I guess the only concern is that that sounds great and could it work? Possibly, but it's not without risk. I mean, especially when you're talking about commercial real estate right now, the commercial real estate market is changing quite a bit. And so as we're, you know, looking at the changes post pandemic, you know, a lot more people are working from home. You know, that means a lot of empty office buildings. I mean, there's quite a bit of transition going on. And so for you all, you know, even if you're going into this with 25% equity, you know, you'd be taking on a massive note to buy a building, hoping that you could keep it occupied and throw off enough income to service the debt and all the expenses. And, you know, this is a completely different situation than being the landlord of a townhouse, a multi-tenant, you know, commercial building. That's a whole different ballgame, and it could actually create, you know, a lot of financial risk for you all if for some reason you couldn't keep it rented and, you know, you got behind on these debt payments or something like that. So as much as I love the idea of you all trying to solve for how are we going to cover this $8,000 a month, which I realize is a massive bill, and you know, you want to care for your son and provide everything he needs, I want you to do it in a way where you're not taking unnecessary risk, you know, in this situation. And I think getting into commercial real estate without a lot of expertise, especially if you're doing this on your own and this is a new venture for you, would be something I'd be very concerned about. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I think the question is kind of where is that money going to come from? How much do you all, you know, how much of that $8,000 a month would you be able to cover just based on your current situation with whatever rental income you're collecting from the townhouses plus any discretionary income after your bills are paid?
I guess $2,000.
How much?
$2,000. So we $2,000.
Yeah. So you need another $6,000. Yeah. So obviously that's going to be challenging. And so let's just, you know, make this a matter of prayer. Look at other options out there, you know, that where you could perhaps care for him, you know. And I don't know anything about, you know, what his medical condition is, what his needs are. So I wouldn't even begin to venture to try to help you explore what options you have. I'm sure you've done a lot of research and a lot of studying. I think the thing that I want you to do is, number one, we want to trust the Lord. He knows this situation. So let's make this a matter of prayer. Let's ask the Lord to provide miraculously, but let's also not take unnecessary risk. Let's not kind of jump to something that is potentially speculative and, you know, beyond what you have the ability to do financially and based on kind of your own expertise to try to solve for this in a way that could create a lot more financial strain and strain on your marriage and your family beyond the strain that's already there as you're caring for this child of yours. So let's pray about this. I would seek out a certified Kingdom advisor as well in your area at faithfi.com. Just click Find a CK and see if you can get some wise counsel from an advisor who can help you navigate this, because there's a lot of moving parts there. Again, faithfi.com. Click Find a CK. Benny, God bless you. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show beginning April 24th on AFR.net. I'll serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. The podcast begins April 24th on AFR.net, and I can hardly wait. See you there.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Every day, FaithFi is working to meet people right where they are. Through our national radio program, app, and website, we're helping people put their faith in God and not in money and possessions. And we're encouraging and equipping Christians to have a passionate pursuit for sacrificially living and giving the money entrusted to them. If you believe in and have benefited from FaithFi, would you consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron? Learn more about the FaithFi patrons membership at faithfi.com and click Give.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
You know, it comes to money management, perspective is everything. We want to have an eternal perspective of God's money, not a temporal one. And when we do that, it really changes everything, because belief is really the core in driving our behavior. Behavior follows belief. So what I think in terms of how I approach money management is ultimately going to be reflected in the how, the decisions that I make every day. So we have to renew our minds with a biblical, eternal perspective. Seeking first the kingdom of God, and then everything else comes into, I think, a more proper view, especially in this area of finance. Well, we help you do that on this program each day. Let's head back to the phones. Allendale, Michigan. Hey, Nancy, thank you for calling. I understand you have a testimony.
Yes, I do. I just wanted to encourage your people, everyone that's listening, to follow God's word in everything, and He does bless you. And not always materially, but truly blesses you. My husband and I are in our middle 70s, and we never had very high-paying jobs at all. And God has blessed us with everything that we need so that we have our home paid off, and we can now give to charity about $40,000 a year. Wow. By His grace. So God is so faithful.
Yes. Oh, Nancy, I so appreciate you sharing that, because I know there's somebody out there today who's perhaps discouraged. They're thinking, we just don't make enough. We'd love to be able to give. We can't. We, you know, don't feel like we have enough money at the end of the month to pay all of our bills. And we just want to know how to be found faithful. And you're a testimony of someone saying, listen, we've done it. And God's word is true. And when you follow these principles and live modestly and hold it loosely and try to get out of debt and live within your means, God will bless you. And I love that you even said it's not always going to be materially as well. What was the key, other than just following God's word and the principles we find in it, what was some of the keys practically to the way you all ordered your financial lives that you think led to where you are today?
Well, for one thing, God teaches us to be content.
Yeah.
And so there were times when everybody else was having a vacation and we would just, you know, put a blanket over the clothesline and have a tent outside.
Yeah.
You know, we just didn't do it. We didn't do the things. We never went out to eat. Now, I'm not saying that I advise that, because we really were very, very careful. But yeah, there was a time that my husband didn't have a job and I was at home taking care of two children. And so we did bartering. I would serve them, you know, I would work for them, do some things like taking care of their children,
yes,
in exchange for produce from the garden. And then I would make my own catsup and relish and anything that anybody had left.
Yes.
I just took in and did that. So that was just one of the things. I think we always gave at least a tenth of everything that came in, even when we didn't have a job.
Yeah.
So, but God just blessed that so much. One year I worked for free at a Christian school because I couldn't get a job. I didn't have a vehicle.
Yeah.
So I walked to the school and I worked for free for a year. Mm. And at the end of that year, someone gave us a new car.
Wow. God is so faithful, isn't he? Well, Nancy, what a blessing to hear your testimony today. The joy of the Lord that's clearly present in your life. I love that you said it came down to contentment. You know, contentment is an attitude, but it's also a choice. You know, I can choose to be content in every circumstance, rich or poor, happy or sad, easy or difficult, because as Christ followers, our position in Christ never changes. And we can choose to be content with what God has provided. And clearly you all have done that, and you're experiencing the fruit of living that way. Well, I'm so thankful for your story today, Nancy. God bless you and your husband, and thanks for checking in with us.
Okay, God bless you too.
All right. What a blessing it is. Thank you for that story, Nancy. By the way, if you have a testimony of God's faithfulness, I'd love for you to call in someday. Maybe today's not the day, but on one of our programs, take the time to call in and encourage everyone else about applying biblical wisdom and the fruit that comes from living that way. Detroit, Michigan. Hey, Stephen, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I was almost 69, and I was just recently was told that I need to go ahead and start my Social Security. I know that 8% is added each year. Is that a good thing to go ahead and start it at this point?
Yeah, Stephen. What you have to recognize is that, once you get to age 70, that's going to stop accruing. The question is, should you wait until 70 to fully maximize that increased benefit, or does it make sense to go ahead and start taking it right now? So you're 68, you're beyond full retirement age, but you'd be giving up those increases for the next couple of years. What it's going to come down to is really, number one, do you need the money right now, or do you have the ability to wait? And what would that mean? Does that mean you have to continue to work or tap into a 401k or retirement account? And then secondly, are you in good health? I mean, none of us know our next breath. I mean, that is a gracious gift from God. So he could call us home at any time. But, you know, are you in good health? And you have longevity in your family? Because if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, that's going to be the key to maximizing this. Typically, what we see is that for somebody that waits until age 70 versus taking this at full retirement age, and I realize you're a little beyond that, typically it's about 11.5 years before you would have recouped everything you gave up during those 3 years in the form of a higher check. And so once you get past those 11 and a half years, now you're enjoying, that higher check for the rest of your life. But you got to get there. So that's part of the unknown. So given that, give me your thoughts.
I'm still working, and I don't plan on to retire till after 70. Like, I'll turn 70 in April of 2024, but I'll probably finish out that year anyway. So, but I, like you were saying, that I could go ahead and start it at 70 because it's not accruing any more money.
Oh, absolutely. You definitely would want to start taking it age 70. I think the question is just whether you wait until that point and enjoy that guaranteed 8% increase that's going to take some time for you to make up what you've given up by not collecting it at, let's say, 68 where you are now. But the fact that you'll have that higher check for the rest of your life locked in, I think is a good thing, especially if that's going to help you solve for the income that you need in retirement. So if you're healthy and you've got the ability to wait, if it were me, I'd probably do that. Thanks for your call today, sir. God bless you. To Chicago. Hi, Sherry. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. West. Praise the Lord. I received an inheritance of $159,000. And I was trying to find out if whether or not I had to pay taxes on it. My mom says that typically when you inherit money, you don't have to pay taxes.
Yeah, your mom's exactly right. That's the good news there, Sherry. Inheritances are not taxable. So there's no federal inheritance tax, and Illinois has no inheritance tax either. If there's any tax due, it would be paid by the estate, not the beneficiary. So prior to it being passed to you as an inheritance, if there was taxes due, the estate would pay them. But most estates don't pay inheritance tax either because they have to be in excess, at least this year, of $12 million, the total estate, before there would be any estate tax. So nobody's paying any tax on this, which gives you the opportunity, Sherry, to take a step back and say, Lord, what would you have me to do with this money?
Well, I did pay off the rest of my house. So I was able to do that.
That's great.
And some credit card bills. And I have $30,000 left, and I was putting that to the side for the taxes, what I thought would
okay.
be about, but I wasn't sure. Now, yeah. I definitely need prayer for tithing because I didn't do that. It's real weird because when I had less money, I tithed, and now that I have more money, I haven't tithed. And I don't know what that's about, but maybe you could pray for me on that, everybody who's listening.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would lean into that and ask the Lord to show you what it is that might be holding you back. Sometimes, we talked about it a moment ago. Sometimes it's the fear of loss that can really stymie us and cause indecision. Because when we don't have a lot, well, it's a little easier to hold it loosely with an open palm. But when we have more, we have this fear of losing it, and we tend to kind of clench that fist closed a little bit tighter. And that's an issue of the heart, which all financial issues are. And I'm not pointing my finger at you, Sherry. It affects all of us. We have to say, if money issues are heart issues, and God has always been about our hearts, money is the most tangible way that every day we work out our faith. And so I think, for each of us, we have to be on our knees saying, Lord, what would you have me to do with your money? I don't want to hold it tightly because you're my provider. And so that allows me, when I recognize God owns it all and I'm his money manager, now I can return a portion or, however much you decide to him and know that, I can participate in God's activity through my giving. I know that God's provision is complete and I trust him to continue to provide for me because I'm his child and he said in his word that he will. And so that allows me to give freely, but we always have to be checking our hearts. What's our motivation behind how much we're keeping and how much we're giving? How are we thinking about it? And are we doing it to please man or to please God? And so it's a great reminder for us, Sherry, that we all need to be on our guard in that. Let me pray for you here real quick as we wrap up today. Father, we're so thankful for you. We know this is a high calling you give us as money managers of your resources. Lord, help us to be generous, to hold what we have loosely, to give it to you freely. Thank you for the privilege of being involved in your work. And Lord, help us to seek you first in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Sherry, thanks for your call today. We're grateful for you. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. On behalf of my team, Robert Sutherland, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick, I'm Rob West. So glad you were here for Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Have a great rest of your day, and God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.